said I won't accept your apology. Fred. Everybody say hi to Fred.
Hi.
He's got it. So in front of all my church family, I want to offer Walter an apology for saying he was a troublemaker. So thank you, Walter. We love you, Walter. God is good. Praise God. All the time. All the time. Let's stand up and pray this morning, church. Thank you, Lord. Pray with us. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. And be seated. Be seated this morning. Thank you. How many believe that to be true? I need to see hands. I want to know that you believe that. God is good. How much? All right. Lord, let's do our responsive reading. I told Marilyn the other day, I can't wait to go back upstairs and I'll get everything in order. Because last week I forgot the Lord's Supper. And I had to remind them of the closing prayer upstairs. It's a lot easier. I get a little confused down here. But I like it. Oh, isn't this beautiful? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. Wow. The Lord is my shepherd. I what? Wow. God is good. Say it again. So, here's your quiz for today. By the way, Flo, it's nice to see you. We missed you. Who was the law made for, according to 1 Timothy? Who was the law made for? Was it made for the Jewish nation? Was it made for all the people? Or was it made for the lawless and disobedient? According to 1 Timothy, who was the law made for? How many think the Jewish nation? Anybody? How about all the people the law was made for? How about the lawless and disobedient? According to 1 Timothy, the law was not for a righteous man, but for the ungodly, profane, and manslayers, the lawless, and the disobedient. God made the law for them. And by the way, good to see you, Andre. Thank you. I was banging on the window Thursday night because I wanted to play your song as you were leaving, and I felt so bad that I didn't get to your song, and I apologize for that in front of everybody. I'm doing a lot of apologizing today. Put an end to that nerve. This next question to me was really the whole story. What represented God's presence and glory in the temple at its dedication according to 2 Chronicles? What represented God's presence and glory in the temple at its dedication? Let's pray for them as they go by. Hallelujah. Was it a cloud? Was it fire or was it wind? According to 2 Chronicles, what represented God's presence? How many think it was a cloud? We get a cloud? How about fire? Anybody want to say fire? How about wind? Amen. This is why it's so exciting. The Because when you read it in the whole story, that the entire church, the entire place was praising God together. The trumpets and the voices were saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And the church together were praising him with that one voice. Everybody together. And the cloud filled the whole church. His presence and the cloud, and they had to stop because the presence of God was there, that they couldn't speak and they couldn't move because of the awness of it, the beautifulness of it. Amen. The presence of God, the Spirit of God was right there in a cloud. And I would wish we could see that here, wouldn't you? It takes everybody being on the same page together. And they were saying, for God is good and his mercy endures forever. And the cloud filled the temple. According, that's a great story to read. Okay, nobody look at your Bibles. Thou shalt not steal is what number commandment? 6, 7, or 8? Thou shalt not steal. How many say 6? 7? I get 7? How about 8? Anybody but 8? We got 8. We got Deacon Chuck's. Right on. It's number 8. You should know your 10 commandments. And this one I know I've asked before because this is an important one. What should you be ready to give to every man that asks of the reason of the hope that is in you? What is it that you should be ready to give to every man for the hope that is in you? Is it a Bible? Is it an answer? Or is it love? What should you be ready to give to every man that asks of the reason, why have you got so much hope inside of you? How many think you give them a Bible? Anybody? How about an answer? And how about love? You got anybody with love? Well, love is a good answer, but it's not the answer. You should be ready to give them an answer. Why are you so happy? Because God is good all the time. Because God has blessed my life and kept me from this, kept me from that, led me from this, taken me from that. And that's the answer. You should have, always have an answer. Amen? And speaking of answers, we have an answer prayer with us this morning. Brother Jim is here with us all the way from Seymour. Brother Jim went out to El Paso to visit his mother on an airplane. Got on an airplane and came back, and there he sits safe and sound. Thank you, Lord. A prayer answered. God, good to see you, Brother Jim. How was your visit with your mama? Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you bringing, is there any water in the back? Very good. I was watching Joel Osteen for a few minutes the other day, and I was listening to him preach, and I said, that's sort of the same thing that I want to preach on, only he went about it a different way, which is always interesting, because there's so many ways to look at the Bible and read the Bible, and you kind of get to the end. His ending was sort of like the same ending that I have. His words were just a little different, but the message, amen, was the same message, and I said, that message should be given in all churches. The simple message. How many understand that it should be a simple message on Sundays? Amen? Are you all comfortable now? Because I want to get started. I'm all excited. So I ask you this morning, what would you ask God for today? If he walked in here, not about anything or why he does anything, but for you, what would you ask God for you today? What would you ask God for? What dream or desire or one wish that you had, what would it be? Because you just told me God is good how long?
All the time. No wonder. Great
time. All right, let's. What would you have done? Here it goes. Certainly, if we knew what we knew of what we believe to be completely true, then there could be nothing left to ask for. If you knew that you knew that it was completely true, there'd be nothing left to ask for. If we knew to be completely true what we believe, then our only job would be to teach our children to believe. There could be no doubt. If you knew what you knew and you believed it to be completely true, you wouldn't have anything to ask God for. The only thing you would have to, you got to tell your children to believe, amen? Because with God, all things are possible. And God is good how long? All the time. So you start thinking, wow, what would I ask God for? And it says in the Bible, when a rich man passes away, it doesn't say it in the Bible, but it was sorry. When a rich man passes away, a lot of people ask, how much did he leave behind? Well, the simple answer is always the same, amen? How much did he leave behind?
All of it.
He left it all behind. So, what did that, okay. So I start to think, what would I ask God for? What would you ask God for? And of course, the first person I go to in the Bible is who? Solomon. And in the story of Solomon, I think the biggest message in that story gets missed all the time. Because you start thinking of how many wives he had and how many children he had and all the stuff he had. That the simple message in Solomon is the same message that I want to give to you today. Solomon asked God for what? Wisdom. He asked God for one thing. He said, I'm going to ask God for wisdom to help the people, to lead the people, to keep people healthy, to keep the peace. That's what he asked God for. Not to mock people, not to judge people or rule over them. Amen? You out with me? So Solomon became the wealthiest of all kings in every way. Not just money. Can you say that with me? Not just money. He was wealthy. And so these three words come to my head. Wisdom equals wealth. You see, that's the story that gets missed because all of a sudden we pass along all the mistakes he makes and all the things he does with 700 wives. What? And 300 concubines and all his prisons and temples to this one and doing that. You see, the story gets missed because the first part of the story with wisdom equals wealth. He became the wealthiest person in the Bible. God said so. Nobody will have it. And how did he become wealthy? Through wisdom. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man, a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Anybody ever heard that before? Is it easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God? We're going to get back to that. So Solomon, with all his wealth, he lost track of God. That's my story, but you start reading. So the wealthiest of all kings fell the hardest and the farthest. Think about that. He fell farther and harder than anybody else. His cost was huge. Amen? He lost it all. Some say that he had a good life. I don't know if you think Solomon had a good life. I asked him. He had all this stuff. Did he have peace? I don't think so. How could you have peace? Did he have love? I said, how do you know? He's got all this stuff and he's giving it all away. Just like somebody else I know, Miss Jean, called Elvis Presley. People said they loved him, but did they love him because of everything he gave? Oh, I'm going to hang around with Elvis. He's going to buy me a new car. So did Solomon really have love? I don't think so. Not that kind of love. His choices brought on more trials and tribulations. Amen? More wives and children that he could never know. Noise and needs, never enough time. Imagine that. He had never enough time. He couldn't know his children. He couldn't know those people. And his life was amazing. Camel and a needle had nothing to do with a camel and a needle. Y'all know that, right? You know, the camel and the needle had nothing to do with the camel. It's the obvious, the absurdity of all, yet the impossibility of a camel going through the eye of a needle. Because the next line said, but with God all things are, right? Okay. So let me make 2 points on that. This is going good. I love that. You okay? Everybody good? Just being rich is not a bad thing. Amen? Come on, let's say it. Just being rich, is it a bad thing? Of course not. Who wants to be rich? I do. Because being wealthy, you're able to bless the lives of many. Your family, your friends. Amen? You can bless your friends by being rich. You can start a business and feed thousands of people. Listen, thousands. You can start a business that creates jobs. Remember that? We want more. And you can start that and feed thousands of people. So being rich is a blessing in itself. Perhaps your father or your grandfather or your great-grandfather created a business or created something and it was passed down. Amen? How many think that's a good thing, right? Praise God. God sees everything. Y'all believe that God sees it all. What's in your heart? What you value the highest? Because wealth in itself has a way to become false independence. That's what the story is. False independence. You have self-worth. You got all this wealth. All of a sudden you have self-worth yourself. You said, I need no one's help. Anybody ever felt that way? Everybody see that? I don't need anybody's help. Not even, especially a God I have never seen. That's where wealth starts to turn. And the second point is God could make a camel go through the eye of a needle anytime he wanted to. But I ask you this, why would he? He has never done anything unnatural, right? You think about God. I'm sorry I said right. I don't, right? You all agree with that, amen? But he could do anything he wants, but why would he make a camel go through the eye of a needle? He's never done anything like that. It's the rich man who can enter the kingdom of God. With or by God's grace, he can be saved because God sees all. He said, you know, the camel and the needle, he said, but with God, all things are possible. Which means the rich man can get through that needle and enter the kingdom of heaven because God sees all. Because of his grace and his mercy. That's the beautiful part of that little camel and the needle thing. So if we knew what we believe to be completely true, what would you ask God for? Don't answer it. I hope your brains are still thinking about it. So we read it, we quote it, we cling to it. So if we knew it to be completely true, what is it? The Bible. How many read your Bible? The Bible is his word. Amen, Gene? Right? The Bible, Marianne, is his promises. Amen? This book that I hold closer to, people want me to read stuff, and I said, this is the book I need to read. Because every hope I have, every dream I have, being with my father and my mother and my brothers again are in this book. Having good success is in this book. Being a good husband is in this book. Everything I need is in this book. But if I believe it completely true, what would I ask God for? And that's the sort of the kicker thing. If you really knew that you knew, oh, I believe it, I cling to it, the Bible, everything is that I need it to be completely true. I quote it to people, I cling to it, I read it. His promises are in there. How y'all doing? Good. The best example of somebody in the Bible like this, I say the best, so probably one of the best, came from a Gentile, somebody who wasn't part of the Jewish nation. In fact, he was a Roman. Ooh. To a Yankee fan, it's a Red Sox fan. To a Red Sox fan, it's a Yankee fan. He's a Roman. Yet, there's a story in there who believed completely. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Oh, first I want to just say that this Roman understood authority. Anybody ever hear that word authority? Now, the word authority means the power to give orders. Matthew 28:18, it says, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. How much authority? And this centurion understood authority. So he believed it. Completely true, amen? How do you know that? Listen, in chapter 8, starting in verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Oh, are you kidding? This is a Roman. He understood authority. He understood who he was talking to. And he goes on to say, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He marveled. There's only two or three times in the Bible when you read that Jesus marveled. He was in awe. Amen? He heard this, what this man said, and he couldn't, like, he almost couldn't believe it. He said he marveled. And Jesus said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. This centurion believed how completely? Can I get an amen? Completely. And then he says this, which is makes a great Bible study. I won't go too deep, but he said, and I say to you, Jesus is saying, that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I won't get into that, but that's a whole sermon right there. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Wow. You ask God. Some of your Bible scriptures are in your Bible today. There's one from Philippians that says this, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? My God shall supply how much of your needs? But do you believe it?
Well, you say, I believe.
But do you completely believe? You know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? We're getting into the, do you truly believe? He will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then he said, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are a wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Wow, that's in Revelation. Because you say I am rich, I have wealth, and have need of nothing. You see, there's two people there. He knows the heart. He knows the heart of the people. Hallelujah. Wow. So what do you ask God for? How many want to ask God for peace? How about favor with God? Anybody want favor with God? How about favor with man? Anybody want to find favor with man? How about direction? Anybody want direction from God in your life? You're going to find it. Learn how to depart from evil. That's a hard one, because a lot of us like to dwell in evil, thinking that we can do something about it, we can control it. We can sort of put our feet in the water of evil and get away with it. How many want health? The health of your body, your flesh, and your bones. I got another one. How many want your barns full? You know what that means? That's an Old Testament thing. How many want a good bank account and a lot of money and that, to be able to take care of your needs and not live week to week? Amen? You all want that, right? So what would you ask God for? You got the Bible, you believe, but do you completely believe what the Bible says? Okay, let's start from the beginning. You said that you want, how many want peace? All right. Let's go to Proverbs 3. Let's read. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will be added to you. Oh my God. How many want peace? Do not forget God's laws. Let him keep it in your heart. That's all. For the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. There you go. I want peace. How many want favor with God? How many want favor? Come on. Tell them who wants. Okay. Oh, wait. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. I love this next one. Because last week I told you to write on your TV and write it on your refrigerator and stuff. Listen to what it says. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God. Oh my God, who wants favor with God? Let mercy and truth not forsake you. Let not mercy and truth. net, mercy and truth. Write them on the heart, write them everywhere. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God. You want favor with God? And the next, there's two more words to that little scripture. How many want favor with man, with your boss, with your people, and people that you meet somebody new? Because the next two words are, and man. So if you completely know, and you believe what you believe, and you know it to be completely true, David, you can find it right there. There it is. Amen? Can I get an amen? So cool. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Holy cow. So how many want direction? Anybody write, did you want a direction? All right. Well, it's good. Okay. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Praise God. That should be everywhere in the house. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Are you ready, church? And He shall direct your path. What's He going to do? Jim, do you believe He's going to direct your path? He said it right there. But you got to do a little something. You got to trust in Him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't play with evil. Boy, I could do a sermon on that for a month. Don't play with evil. Don't think you can play around and trick evil. Amen? Don't think you can dip your toes in, well, I'll just chow it. I'll get away with that. Praise the Lord. You got a long way to fall sometimes. And I pray that none of us go through that. But just sit there with you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding and all your ways you know, and He will direct your path. Okay, I asked how many want health? Anybody want health? You all want to be healthy, right? And strong bones and good health. Flesh. Are you ready? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Are you ready? It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Oh my God! Everything you wanted! There it is! Look at it! Read it! Proverbs 3. I'll read it again, 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Oh my God! There it is! Right in the Bible! Alright, got one more. How many want your barns full? A bank account. You want to have all that good? You want good success. I want to have good success. I want a life where I don't have to worry paycheck to paycheck. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. You know the 10 cents on the dollar thing? They call that tithing. And people say after taxes, he don't want to know anything about after taxes. If you made a certain amount of money, he's saying, do you trust me with that? Do you trust me that I gave you that job? Do you trust me with your wealth? Do you trust me enough that? He said, he wants the first fruit, amen? He doesn't want the after fruit. I think Cain and Abel, that was the problem, you see. One offered the first fruit, the other one sort of decided which one to give, and then God wanted that. And that's honor the Lord with your possessions. Sometimes you might think, maybe I need to be a better giver, not just money. Friendship and honesty and love and compassion. And with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I don't know what else. It says in John 20, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. How many have believed? No. So you're blessed. And what does blessed mean? Fortunate, happy, enlarged, and set apart. You're set apart. Because you're a believer, you're set apart. God sees you differently than He sees the rest. They can all be blessed. Here's the thing about being blessed. Everybody can get a blessing. Anybody that changes their heart for a minute, anybody that becomes a giver has a little compassion. So being blessed is something that we own, something that we get from God because we follow Him. Amen? So when somebody said, you're lucky, no, I'm blessed, and you could be blessed too. interesting question? God gave that question to Job. I love the 38th chapter of Job. You want to read God in all its entirety, you read that, and you can't sit there and you can't say a word to God. After you read the 38th chapter of Job, you can't even, you just got to put your head down and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I love you. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? I'd love to ask some scientists this someday, some expert. They found something the other day that was a million years old. I said, great, they came up a million years. I don't know 5,000 years, 10,000 years, but that's a million years. We don't know 100,000 years, but they could tell me that what they found was a million years old. I said, you go. And they saw something the other day, the astronomers, that was, I think it was, Jim, 356 light years away. They found a planet. 356 light years, 186,000 miles a second light years. And somebody else had to remind them, yeah, you see that now, you see it as you're looking through the telescope, but there it is now, but it ain't there now because it was all this time for you to see it, it's already somewhere else. But you're going to tell me all about it, how it was created, this beautiful world that we have. Okay. But God asked, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where was anybody? Or who shut in the sea with doors? Right? Anybody ever been to the ocean? It stops. And caused the dawn to know its place. That's powerful stuff. God created the dawn and the dusk, amen? The sun coming up, and God did all that. Nobody else did that. Somebody wants to tell you that some explosion, well, that's great if that's what you think. But as the saying goes, you have another thing coming. And I like this one. And to cause it to rain on land where there is no one. God caused it to rain on land where nobody lives in this planet. Now, isn't that amazing? That's the perfection. So without faith, it is impossible to what, church? Please God. And then it says in John, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Like, how many believe that? Three. So we come to the end. What else do we really need? I know you have little needs for today, but he said, you just pray, give us today our daily bread, amen. You already prayed that. You said you prayed it with me. What would you ask God for? And I go back to Solomon. And those three words that I think people miss the whole story of Solomon. They miss the fact that wisdom equals wealth. Wisdom equals wealth. You got wisdom in God, you're gaining wealth. And Joel Osteen said it differently. He said, if you believe God's going to answer your prayer, then why are you worried? Why are you concerned about the timing? Because God's timing is what? Perfect. And God knows all. So if you're going to believe and pray, then believe and pray. If you knew what you believed to be completely true, you would wake up every morning and say, thank you, Lord. Whatever adventure I'm going to have today with you, Lord, it'll be fine. I might have some trials, I might have some sicknesses to deal with, but you said you're going to take me through it. You have promises for me. It doesn't matter when he answers, amen. It doesn't matter what he and how he answers. He has all the authority to do what he says he will do. What he says he will do. His will be done. And you said that this morning too. Did you not say his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? How many of you said that this morning? So what are you praying for? Okay, it's between you and God. Have you thanked him this morning for the answer coming? Have you talked to God in that way? Say, Lord, I completely believe everything that you tell me in this book. So I don't know what else to ask you for. My pastor just told me I can find peace, and I can find joy, and I can find wealth, and I can find health, and I can find favor with God and for man. And then one thing, by the way, that's in Proverbs 3. That's like a half a page in your Bible. If you want to go home and read it, it'll take you about 10 minutes. You can read it, and I have it in colors, and put it in yellow. Like Joel said this morning, too. What does it matter when he's going to answer? You know, sometimes we have to wait. How many of you ever made your children wait for something? Wait for your birthday. Wait for Christmas. I'm going to get it for you, but you got to wait. I can't get you that bicycle. You don't know how to ride it. You got to wait. Yet you get mad at God for making you wait. Now, some of the things that we've talked about the last month or so, been wonderful. Even though I love it down here, we talked about prayer between you and God, talking to God. Amen. Sometimes you have to wait, but you don't have to explain yourself to God. I told somebody that this morning. You don't have to explain your Lord. You don't understand, Lord. This person, God is the same. Stop. I was there. Remember. So when you pray to God, you say, "Thank you, Lord." Read Proverbs 3 and claim it. Claim it, but then do it. See, it's easy to say I love God, but you gotta do a little. You gotta trust Him with all your heart. That's all. You gotta not lean on your own understanding and not be wise in your own eyes. That's all. You know, share with somebody. Not just money, but share the truth. Share compassion and love and caring. Let them feel it. Don't always be about you. Let it be about them. Amen. People did something Friday night for my brother-in-law that they didn't even know him, but they did something because they love us and they shared it with him, and his joy was immense. He said, "I can't believe they did that." You see, you never know whose life you touch when you do it, but just know you can know today, because I'm telling you, you touch lives. You touch people all the time. When you meet them at the grocery store, give them something good. Meet somebody at the doctor's office. We all go to get something good. You might not see it, and it's not for you to see and do, but it'll change them. How many know there's complainers in the world? You know that. See, you know that to be completely true. You all laugh. How many know that God will answer all your prayers? People say, "Well, not all of them." Yeah, every single one. Not the way you want it to be. And you might never see the answer. My mother never saw this. She saw me, she loved me beyond belief, and it was, but she prayed about it. She took me to church, she made me read the priest and go to catechism, and I got confirmation and communion. It was wonderful. I love every second now. Even the older I get, I realize what my mother did for me every second. But she didn't see this. She didn't see her son standing here as a preacher, talking about the Bible, getting into the Word of God. So you'll never know everything. But God said He'll answer all even the things that you don't know. So, if He's going to answer your prayers, and you believe them, and you trust Him, then what else would you ask God for? That's the greatness of God, isn't it? That we're all individuals with Him, all His children, all asking at the same time, and He's pulling us close like a mother goose with all her babies, Marilyn, right? And pulling her close because He wants all His babies, all His children close to Him. Just to love Him. Love on Him. Rub on Him. Tuck into it. Grab onto that robe and say, "Thank you, Lord." Because that kind of faith moves mountains. Give Him praise this morning, church. I hope Joel doesn't sue me for using some of this. I turned him on this morning and said, he's talking about answered prayer. He's talking about God will answer your prayer. So if you believe it, then why are you worried about it? I said, that's you know, wisdom equals wealth. Go home and read Proverbs 3 if you want to. In fact, I didn't even read all of it. I think I finished it. 10. And there's a whole lot more of it. It goes all the way to 35. It might actually take you 15 minutes. Your foot will not stumble when you lie down. You will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of Southern terror. sudden terror, nor of trouble of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. You believe it? The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up in cloud drops from the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and direction, so that it will be life to your soul and grace to your neck, that you will walk safely in your way. Wow. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due. When you owe somebody something, pay the debt, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it to you, when you have it with you. That's where you find favor with people, when they can trust you. Just like your children. You all have children, right? You all have children and grandchildren. You have certain ones that you just trust more than others. That's just who it is. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. When we moved into our home in Southbury, I went outside, my wife didn't, I went outside and I walked around the house, I want to say at least 11 times, maybe 12 times, just asking God to bless our house, bless the land, bless our life. And that's never left me, just the thought of that. I walked around, just walked around and just say, thank you, Lord. Because I wanted God's blessing. You can do that in your house, you can do it today. Around your car, you can do it around your job. Just picture that, your job. Find favor at jobs. You find favor with your boss. You know, people don't even know, how come you got that? What? It's because of God. It says in Proverbs 4, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. That's wisdom. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. If you believe, it'll be completely true what you think you know. Wow. Can you give God praise one more time? And the scripture reading, this is a beautiful one. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. My mother's an example. She took me to that, they spoke Latin at St. Mary's when I was a little boy, but she made me go. And I had to go to, on Saturday, I had to go to catechism. And then I had First Communion. And then we had confirmation. Wow, the bishop's going to ask you a question. You better have an answer. You know how many questions he asked me? None. Marianne, did he ask you? Jim, did he ever ask you a question? Did Marianne ask you? He said, the bishop's going to ask you a question, you're going to have an answer. He said, I don't know what to do. He never just gave him, you know. But it meant everything to my mother, and it meant everything to me. In Proverbs 22, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Wow. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, that's enough. I feel this is where I need to be. I just love it. Had a beautiful week with the Lord and all my friends, but this is special. Thank you, Lord. As you do this morning, just remember you're being obedient to the Lord. We're in a beautiful place right now. Took the bread, he blessed it and broke it, said, this is my body, going to be torn for you. He said, you just ask them, eat this bread, and then do this in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. Lord. for not trusting in your word, Lord. You say, where was I when you laid the foundation of the earth? You did that. You created all this for us. Thank you, Lord. Your words are yes and amen. Completely to believe it, Lord. I love that you look at this church, Lord, and see the believers in this church and be marveled at it. That someday your cloud will come into this church, Lord, and fill the sanctuary with your presence. Lord, we'll fall on our knees because we won't have any choice, Lord, but we'll know that we know that we know that we're in one accord with you. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing to pray for. Pray for these here today, Lord. Bless them that they came here this morning, Lord, on this Sunday in August where they could have done so many other things, but they chose to be here, Lord. So heal us with this sacrament, Lord, and cleanse our hearts to receive. You pour the wine into a cup, saying, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins." Drink and do this in remembrance of me, church, in Jesus' name. Let it heal your body. Let the words of God heal your mind. Let you be calm. Calmness will bring healing to yourself, to your flesh, to your heart. Brother Rob was in the hospital for 2 days this week. He got out of the hospital and he came to church to see us this morning. So thank you, Lord. Hope he doesn't mind saying he went into AFib this week. And then back to the regular rhythm. And here he stands. So thank you, Lord, for this. I want you to know that Deacon Sergio is at his niece's baby shower this morning. That's why he's not here, so filling in for Deacon Sergio. It might be Deacon Jim. Let's take the offering while you're standing. That we have, and you give to this church to keep this lights on and the doors open. So Lord, I ask you to bless those givers, Lord, that we completely believe that we believe, Lord. You say you love a cheerful giver, and that you will bless back, shaken together or running over, that it'll be so much more than we could have ever seen from places that we never expected. That's the way you are, Lord. That's our Father who art in heaven, Lord. We give this to you on this day in Jesus' name. I've been doing sermons for the last couple of weeks out of the book of Matthew. And it's never ending. I mean, it's just never ending. When I read the Gospels, and you think you know the Gospels, and you start reading and studying, you find all this good stuff to share. From little bits of the Bible. I mean, little bit. The centurion story is only about that big, and it'll take you 2 minutes to read about the centurion in Matthew. And then you read Proverbs 3 and it's at one half of a page. It's beautiful stuff. We are blessed. We are set apart. We have found favor with God. This morning I asked God to bless you greater than you ever thought. I asked God to touch this church and touch you all. And just as your pastor, I am humbled. I am glad that you're my friends, but I'm grateful and even happier than you. We can walk with God together and share His word together. You're all worthy of that. So before we say God bless America, let's read our closing prayer. Thank you, Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Stay standing. Let's sing God Bless America. And John is back with the flag. He's going to hold it the right way today. I didn't even know he held it the wrong way last week. He confessed. God bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, back and forth.